This is Victory House.
Can somebody shout a bigger hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right, let's go to the Word of God, Zechariah chapter 4. Okay, that's the URL, victoryalltheway.org. Load your cloud. I think you should save that, bookmark it on your phone, and then listen to the prayers, pray the prayers, and expect that rain will fall for you in 2019.
Amen.
Rain of beauty, rain of glory, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I've been talking about expected end. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, it says God has a plan for you. God has a future for you, and it describes that future. It's not just any future. Some people say it's enough just to compete. No, it's not just enough to compete. I must get the prize. I don't just want to compete. I don't just want to be part of the competition. I want to get the prize. I want to get the expected end. So God said, I know the plans that I have towards you. I know today is December 30, but somebody still need to hear it for 2018. God said, I know the plan that I have towards you. They are the plans to prosper you.
Yeah.
I thought I was talking to somebody in this service.
Yeah.
Or maybe they are here. They are the plans to prosper you.
Yeah.
They are the plans not to harm you.
Yeah.
They are the plans to give you a hope and a future.
Yeah.
Another translation says the plans will give you a colorful future. I see a colorful future ahead of you.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. So we have said several things, and I won't try to repeat what we have said. Go online, victoryalltheway.org. We have messages. All our messages are there. We are also on iTunes. You can put it on your iTunes and subscribe as a podcast. As soon as they load the messages there, you get them. All right. So, but today we want to end this discussion, expected end, by what I call the power to finish well. Can somebody say it loud and clear? Say power. To finish well. Zechariah chapter 4, and we'll start reading from verse 1. We'll take it all the way to verse 9. Zechariah chapter 4. In these days, it's not hard to open the scriptures. You just scroll down, you see it. Some people have even ordered their own Bible to show it alphabetically. So it's not cool the way it follows in the Bible. So they look at Z, they go to the bottom. They just click on that. All right, let's read. I'll just read. Verse 1 says, then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up. Like someone awakened from sleep. I'm speaking, we prayed that prayer at our time when we're praying this morning. That anything that has kept some people on to be sleeping, there are people that they are like at the back bench of their destiny. They are sleeping, they are dozing. I say, wake up in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Some of you, jobs have made you to sleep. Some of you, relationship, you are going around with some funny guy or funny lady, and they have just given you sleeping medicine. I say, wake up in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So the Bible said, then the angel would talk to me in return and say, he woke me up like someone awakened from sleep. Verse 2, he asked me, what do you see? May your eyes be open.
Amen.
As you walk into 2019, you walk with open eyes.
Amen.
Many people, these things that are for their success is close to them, but they didn't see it, or they can't see it. Look at Abraham. Abraham would have killed Isaac if not that God opened his eyes to see the ram. I pray for you as you are going into 2019, may your eyes be opened.
Amen.
To ideas.
Amen.
To business opportunities.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top, and seven lamps on it, with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, and one on the right of the bowl, and the other on its left. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And he answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. And verse 6, the angel was now giving the interpretation of what they saw. And this is how he goes. He says, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to you. This is Zerubbabel, but he's also to you. This is the word of the Lord to you. Not by mind, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? What are you 2019? What are you even one more day in 2018? You shall become plain ground in the name of Jesus. Some of you are apprehensive about 2019. What will happen? I can tell you. I prophesy and I tell you correctly. It will be well.
Amen.
I can tell you it will be glorious.
Amen.
It will be beautiful.
Amen.
I am not making it well. It's the word of the Lord to you. It will be well.
Amen.
So the Bible says, he said to me, before Zerubbabel, you become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstones to the shafts of God bless it. Another translation says, it will bring it down by saying grace, grace. I see grace supplied for you.
Amen.
You will experience grace in 2019 in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Then the word of the Lord came to me, verse 8. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this temple. His hand will also complete it.
Amen.
What good thing God started in you, God will finish it.
Amen.
Everything that started that is good in you, God will bring to a glorious completion.
Amen.
As you are starting 2019, you will also finish it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. So I will not start and start. I will start and finish. I will finish what I have started. Then you will know that the Lord the Almighty has sent me to you. That's the word of the Lord to us in this season. You know, when I was reading this scripture, I was just curious to find out some back information about this whole book on itself. And I ran across something that just really, really thrilled me. And I believe brings a connection to all these things that is happening in this particular chapter. Because Zechariah is a prophet that was also a priest. It's not every time you find that happening. But the name of Zechariah is a very interesting name. The name means God remembers. God remembers. God remembers. Sometimes when you hear words like that, you are thinking to yourself, does God forget? Because if they say God remembers, he almost wants to suggest that God forgets. No, don't think about it in human terms. When you say God remembers, that means the focus has come on that thing. The spotlight has come upon that thing. That means it is now the turn of that thing. It is now the turn of that person. So this morning, as you have heard from the prophet that says God remembers, I declare spotlight has come upon you. In the name of Jesus. But you see, in the journey of life, as we are moving through life, as we are moving from one point to another point, as we are doing life, one of the things that happen is that the devil tries to tell us stuff. The devil tries to remind us of stuff too. You know, God, we have said God remembers, but the devil tries to remind us stuff. One of the things that the devil wants to help us to do, and what he does with all those things is that he makes us to take an excursion or a detour so that we'll not go towards the expected end. One of the first things that the devil will do is to make you wallow in self-pity. Self-pity. The devil will put you in that place where you are now like, you know, some people... When you made them, you're like, how is 2018? We are here. You know? Or we're just winging it. We're just there. And then he wants you to be in self-pity. He wants you to drown in the fact that this has not happened. That has not happened. Or it hasn't happened here. Did you hear that so-and-so just gave birth? Did you hear and so-and-so just bought car? Did you hear that they just bought their house? Why has it not happened to you? Then you go into this long self-pity thing. And the devil will like try to convince you that really something is wrong here. Oh, he would now start playing to you the picture of your life. You know, just walking you through your months. See how things have turned out. Look at this job. You have cried, you have prayed, you have done everything. Look at it. Is this the best that can happen? Look at your children. Look at that. He reminds you of all kinds of things. And even the most spiritual of us, the devil still does that. And he sometimes gets his way. There was a story that happened in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. The Bible talked about Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal. But by the time you get to 1 Kings chapter 19, Jezebel sends a letter or a report or a message to Elijah and says, Elijah, I heard that you think your God is strong. You know what I'm going to do? God, deal with me if I don't do to you like you did to the prophet of Baal. And Elijah took this message, self-internalized it, and started wallowing in self-pity. He said this in 1 Kings chapter 19 and 4. 1 Kings 19 and 4. He said, look, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. You know, sometimes when people get into this self-pity, we say funny things that you're like, if you really mean what you have said, there is a better way to have the result. If God, Elijah is telling God, take my life, you don't need to tell God to take your life. If you think Jezebel will take your life, just go and meet Jezebel. Jezebel will gladly take the life because Jezebel said, I will kill you. And you're not going to God and say, God, you kill me. If you really want to die, just run and go and meet Jezebel, and Jezebel will what? Will do the job. But he himself doesn't believe God. But the devil gets into our mind. The devil plays this mind game with us. Don't let him do that. As you are finishing this year, don't let him let you take stock and come to that position and say, oh, question mark. This year has not been that year for me. Oh, this is bad. That is bad. That is not good. That one of the things I do to myself, I fight self-pity. I don't let it land. I fight it. I don't like people to pity me, and I will not begin to wallow in self-pity and say, oh me, oh poor me. Some people go that way. And some people think it's humility. It's not humility, it's humiliation. You are humiliating yourself by wallowing in self-pity because the devil lets you remember just some part of the story. But the story is not only that version he's telling you. There is more to the story than the one he's telling you. There is more to the story. And sometimes you need to remind yourself some of the things God has done. You need to encourage yourself in the things God has done. Sometimes it may just be something so mundane as, I woke up this morning, and so that's a good thing that I'm still awake this morning. I may not have money in my pocket. I might have lost all my money to a particular business, but I still woke up this morning. What that means is that there is still hope. So I will not wallow in self-pity, because the devil wants to make you take a detour from this journey that God wants for you in self-pity. So don't take the bait. Don't take it from him. As you are finishing this year, don't take it from him. As you enter into the next year, don't take this bait of self-pity from him. No. Say no to him. Say no to him. Say no to him. And I want somebody to say loud and clear this morning, say no. Another detour that I like to take us on is this detour of guilt. Detour of guilt. The devil likes to take you on this guilt trip. It makes you feel guilty. Oh, the reason why you have not had babies. You remember how you lived your life when you didn't know Jesus? It is coming to haunt you now. That's it. You are done. You see your children. Yeah, see that. See your husband. See this. It's because of what you have done. Now, yes, sometimes what we have done might have effects or not. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, if a man therefore is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. The old has gone. Every time you can ascertain the fact that you are in Christ Jesus, you can look the devil in the eye and look and tell him that, look, what you are talking about is the old. What you are talking about is as gone. The new me is here. That person you are talking about is an old Emmanuel. Can I tell you, the devil tells this same thing to almost all of us. Actually, all of us. Even to me. There are still sometimes I will just remember something back in high school days. And the devil wants to take me on that rabbit trail, on that guilt trip, and say, look, you are guilty because of what you did 10 years ago. You are guilty because of what you did 20 years ago. But I would like to also remind him that the blood of Jesus is able to go to the past. That same blood is able to clean things up. The blood of Jesus is like an eraser. It can erase the ink that sin has put on my life. It can erase any mark that is upon my life. So I refuse to go on a guilt trip. Can you say that loud and clear this morning?
I refuse to go on a guilt trip.
Don't feel guilty. I'm not saying don't be responsible. I'm not saying do everything, because some people will take this and say, oh, no. Sometimes when our conscience tells us that something that we are doing is wrong, we need to align ourselves to the word of God and make sure we correct ourselves. But many times, even after that correction, you are still feeling guilty. The devil is still under your head, under your ears, and whispering things to you and making you feel that the reason why you are where you are is because of some of the things that you have done. But I have come to tell you this morning that your Father is looking at Jesus, and when he sees Jesus, he sees a perfect Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
I love this song that they sang this morning, that God is a good, good Father. Every time you come to God, remember that he's your Father. Oh, my children have done things that I didn't like. Many, many times I forget after the correction. I don't keep it. I don't have any book where I keep the record. Oh, you know what you did today? You told a lie. 01, 02, 2017, so that when you tell the lie again, I'll come and tell you, you told it. No, I don't do that. And that's how God is for you too. God is your Father. He doesn't want you to be doing stupid things and funny things, but when you do them, the Bible said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't only forgive us and cleanse us from the sin, he also cleanses us from the consequences. So when you are seeing consequences that look like consequences from sin, you can look them in the eye and be bold about it and say, this is the consequence from an action that I've taken, but God has forgiven me for this action, so I speak against this consequence. I will not have this consequence. Can somebody say amen to Jesus?
Amen.
So the devil takes us on this trip, self-pity, guilt, another trip or another detour on this way to the promised land, or the things it reminds us, or the things it makes to operate in our life. Apart from self-pity, apart from guilt, is that it sows doubt. It sows doubt. I have said this before. Experience is a lousy teacher. Sometimes. Experience sometimes will tell you that things will always go the way they've gone before. It is not always true. You know that, right? Miracles happen when there is a break in the normal order. Miracle happen when something changes and does not follow the pattern. And I know that somebody listening to me, the pattern you have been experiencing in your finances is about to break now.
Amen.
The pattern you have been experiencing concerning that giving birth to a child is about to change now.
Amen.
So let no experience lie to you. You look at January and you are now in December. And experience is telling you, some people, in fact, while I was preparing this message, God asked me to tell somebody that some of you are afraid, so to say, to plan for 2019 because you have failed before. So some people have now scaled back their expectation. They have drawn it back because I have failed before. I don't want to set it too high so that I won't be disappointed. Please set it very high. Set it very high. God will exceed your expectation. God will do far more than you have said, in the name of Jesus. So the devil likes to sow the seeds of doubt. He reminds you, there were things you were hoping for in 2017. Where is it? There were things you hoped for in 2018. 2018, you were shouting, the new year has come, my year of victory. Where is the victory? It tells you that. But tell the devil, though God looks like he's coming late, he's going to come big. It's going to happen for me. Delay is not denial. God will show up. And when he shows up big. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
So he takes you on the trip of self-pity. He takes you on the trip of guilt. Don't take it. And he also takes you on the trip of doubt. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3 and 19, he said the reason why some people failed to enter into the fullness of what God had for them was not because, it wasn't because God didn't promise it. It was because of doubt. And so we see that they were not able to enter. They were not able to experience the expected end because of doubt, because of unbelief. So the devil tries to take us there. But you see, the way he's reminding us, the way to break these three things that he brings to us is also to remind them. Because sometimes he has amnesia. He has forgotten. So remind him. So talk back to him. As he's talking to your ears, so you to talk back to him. Reply him with your words. Remind him, because that's how you bring yourself back onto the track on the way to the expected end. What do you remind him? You remind him that God remembers. God remembers my labor of love. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and 10. It says God is not unmindful, or God is not just. He will not forget. He will not forget your labor of love. The prayers that you have prayed, he will not forget it. The givings that you have done, he will not forget it. God remembers. So when the devil wants to take me on self-pity, when the devil wants to take me on the guilty trip, when the devil wants to make me wallow in doubt, I will remind him, God remembers. God remembers. And what is remembering is a good thing about me. What is remembering is that he has promised that he will give me a good hand. And therefore, he's taking me toward the hand. So remind the devil, remind yourself that God remembers your labor of love. Another thing that I just want to point out that God remembers is that God remembers your sacrifice. God remembers your sacrifice. The Bible says in Psalm 20 and verse 3 to 5, Psalm 23 and 5, it says, may he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. God remembers your sacrifice. There are many of us, we are making sacrifice for our families. There are many of us, we have even made sacrifice to God, given to God sacrificially. God is not, he hasn't forgotten. You might not have seen the reward, but the reward is coming. He has asked me to tell you that the rewards are coming. Wait for them, you will see them in the name of Jesus. You are going into a year where you will experience the reward in the name of Jesus. So this God that was speaking through Zechariah, who was called the God that remembers, this God said, how you finish it to the finish, how you get to the finish line, he gave us a code to it. And he said it in verse 6 of that our anchor scripture. He said, it's not by power. It is not by might, but by my spirit. It is my spirit. There is my spirit can inspire how to get to the end. My spirit can carry you from here to the end. Because from start to the end, that distance from start to the end, usually people get tired. Usually people lose steam. Usually people lose energy. Usually people lose momentum. How will you make it to that expected end? You need an infusion of energy. You need an infusion of the spirit. And God was reminding Zechariah and telling him that it is my spirit that will carry you to the finish line. It is my spirit. It's my help. It is not your education. The more you rely on God, the more you give him opportunity to carry you. Because of experience and moving in life, after a while, there is a tendency for us to get it twisted and think that we are the one in charge. The more dependence on God you have, the more results you will experience. So the power to make it to the finish line, the power to end well is with God, but it functions when we depend on that power. When we rely on that power. I've told this story before. I said I went to preach in the church, and they got me into the church early, and you know the workers were meeting. And when I saw the chairs that they were arranging, I was like, these people must be joking. I mean, how many people will come here? You know, I was just in my mind, just doing my analysis and all of that. And they were arranging many chairs. Yeah, in the United States here, in Maryland. And I was like, where will you get all these people? And I know that there are so many, it was a Redeemed Church. I know that there are other Redeemed Churches in Maryland, big Redeemed Churches. And I never knew these people to be big Redeemed Church. So they were arranging the chair. And they started the workers' meeting. And after a while, they were about to bring me up. By the time they brought me up, you know, I can see the whole crowd at that time. I saw that all the chairs were filled. I was like, what? Where did these people come from? How did this happen? So after the service, I asked the pastor. I said, sir, I'm pleasantly surprised. How did you do this? How are you getting this? He said, we don't know how to do anything. God is the one doing this. And God told me, he said, that's the secret. They depend terribly on me. Ladies and gentlemen, as you are looking at 2019, depend terribly on God. Even things that you have known, you know how to do normally, ask Him for help. The Holy Spirit is called the Helper. If you don't ask the Helper for help, He will just be there. But you'll be wasting His help. But I see you enjoy help. I see you enjoy help. So why is it that He was not telling this guy that it is not by power or by might? Why is it that He was suggesting to him to lean on the power of God, to defer to God, to depend on God? The reason is because of one word called glory. Glory. Glory is a very interesting one, and you are going to hear a lot about glory in 2019 here and around the RCCG family, just generally. Glory, the best way to describe, there are several ways to describe glory, but one of the ways to describe glory is weight, the heaviness. You know, there was a time that Eli died and all of that kind of thing, and they gave birth to a guy, they called the guy Ichabod. The glory has departed. The heaviness has departed. When you talk about God, God has weight. God is heavyweight. And every time things are happening, God still wants to be the one that keeps the whole weight. He wants to retain the right to the full glory. If you give Him the glory, He will still dispense some glory to you, but He wants to be the one to get the glory. That is why He was saying, look, it's not by power. There are many things that God will not allow to happen when you strive in your own energy and in your own strength, so that you will understand who owns the full weight, who owns the full credit. So in 2019, don't get it twisted. As you are finishing 2018, don't get it mixed up. Know that God wants to reserve the full glory. If you depend on Him, if you lay on His weight, if you allow Him to be Himself, if you allow Him to have His way, to have the full credit, He will let your life have results. It will beautify your life. It will make your life good. And I see that happening to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what God was just trying to tell this prophet here, to tell Zerubbabel and to tell somebody listening to me this morning, is that the power to finish well is by the Spirit of God. Functions by dependence on that Spirit, giving Him full credit. And when you do that, your life will not lack glory. We prayed a prayer in that prayer session this morning, that my life ceases from being a life of just mere stories to a life of glory. And I speak that over you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I say your life leaves the realms of story. Amen. It gets into the realms of glory. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And so the prayer this morning is just this. Lord, I depend on You. I lean on You. Spirit of God, take me to the finish line. Finish line for 2018, finish line for 2019. I depend on You. I don't have the know-how. I don't have the know-how in my finances. I don't have the know-how to do it maritally. I depend on You. You are the power to finish well. And I activate that by saying I depend on You. So this morning I activate that power in the name of the Lord. I will finish 2018 better than I started. Start 2019 on a great note, continue it on a powerful note, and finish gloriously in the name of Jesus. I depend on You. You are my strength, strength like no other. Oh yes, reach to me, Lord. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Father, we thank You this morning. You are indeed our strength, strength like no other. And it is true that it's not by power. It's not by education, it's not by connection, it's not by any other thing, but by Your Spirit.